team for doing that for us. I think sometimes on these longer readings, it helps us to hear multiple voices so we can hear the story and hear what's going on. As you can hear from my multiple voice, whatever it is, I've been calling it the Amherst Community Church plague for several weeks because that's when it started showing up in the choir when they were there for Gene Bartholomew's memorial service. But since I wasn't there, I can't claim that except maybe as a secondary infection. So we'll work that out as we go. I've been drinking tea with lemon all morning. When I run out, the sermon ends. How's that work for everybody? Don't make me come back there now. You know you're among friends when they feel free to abuse you like that. That's. Will you pray with me and for me, please? Lord, help my voice to hold out long enough to speak the word that you would have for us in this place and time. Help us, Lord, to consider this story of a man born blind who is now restored. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Here's the unbeatable combination of the morning. It's hot tea combined with Fisherman's Friend. You're welcome. I've got a whole pocket full here if you'd like some. They taste a little like kerosene, but they do keep the throat lubricated, so that's all right. There are amazingly great questions that show up in the text. And sometimes the questions that get asked are questions we often ask, but we don't really think about what's behind the question. The question the disciples asked Jesus, they come across this poor man who was born blind, that time and place, that's an insurmountable handicap. There's no braille, there's no nothing to help him. He's basically going to be put to beg and will live off the charity of others. And the question the disciples ask is, who sinned? This man or his parents? Now, it would seem obviously difficult for the man to have sinned in order to be caused to be blind since he was born that way. Wouldn't that make sense to you? If you do a little research, you find that the Mishnah, the rabbinical teachings, there is actually a tradition that says that it is possible to sin before you're born. And the Old Testament story that they draw on is the story of Jacob and Esau at war with one another in Rebekah's womb. I know, you and I think that seems kind of silly. How is it possible? But I just want you to know that the question wasn't completely out of left field. There was a tradition from which that question would come. Who sinned? This man or his parents? All too often, we see a situation and we make assumptions about a situation, and it has us asking this same question. So-and-so has cancer. Well, what did he do to get such a horrible illness? Somebody's lost their job. They must have really ticked God off this week. Or somebody dies suddenly, and you wonder. The question shows up. People begin, gee, I wonder what horrible thing. Why is God doing that or did that to them? The assumption behind that, of course, is that we think that when bad stuff happens to us, somehow it's punishment. But you know life. You've lived life long enough to know that there are things that happen. We are mortal. We are broken. We live in a mortal and broken world. And sometimes things happen. The answer that Jesus gives to the disciples is an answer that applies to all of us, right? Who sinned? Well, in other words, who are we going to blame for this guy's problem? But what does Jesus say? He was born this way so that God's glory could be revealed in him. Now, stop for a second and look at me. It's the same reason any of us were born. No matter who you are, what you are, where you've been, or what you've done, the purpose of our lives, biblically speaking, is that our lives would give glory to God, that God's glory would be revealed through us. In this particular man's case, God's glory is going to be revealed in a rather dramatic way, and perhaps in your life some dramatic expression of that may come as well, but it's why we're here. Maybe that's the bigger question, not who sinned, but why are any of us here? That God's glory might be revealed in us. I like that bigger question. All too often in religious circles, we think that the purpose of religion is somehow or another to appease God. You got to get on God's good side so anvils don't fall out of heaven on your head or something, right? No? No anvils? Pianos? Lightning bolts? You did add the extra ingredient to my tea this morning, did you? In case you're wondering, that was lemon. We'll talk about it later. But what's the point of this man's healing? As you follow the story, you realize that the healing is simply the starting point of a greater new reality for him. The healing is just the beginning point of what is going to grow and evolve into a whole new relationship with God through Jesus, who sinned. May well be the silliest question we ever ask. Right? You're mortal, whether you're 3 or 30 or 60 or 90 or whatever. Right? These things are going to happen to all of us. That God's work may be revealed in and through you. Now, let me say something else about this, because I think somehow people convince themselves that life is supposed to be easy. Can I share a secret with you? A good percentage of you are older than I am. You already know this secret, right? That life is often a struggle. Often. There are things we have to fight our way through. Sometimes you wake up on a Saturday morning and you have no voice getting ready for Sunday. And you struggle your way through it. Sometimes life is hard. But what I've discovered on my journey, and what I discover as I read the Bible, is that it is in those struggle times, in those difficult times, in those hard times, that God's glory is revealed in us. That if I didn't know the struggle, I wouldn't know the joy. If I didn't know darkness, I wouldn't understand what light was. Because it's not until things are fully illumined that I really see where I've been. It's not until I've been through pain that I know the joy of healing. It's not until I've been through moments of despair that I fully understand what hope is. That it's in our brokenness, like this man. In our brokenness, that God's glory is more fully revealed. Contemporary songwriter Laura Story, and I was actually going to try and sing this chorus to you, but that is not going to happen. But the chorus of her song, Blessings, says this. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights is what it takes to know you're here? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? I think for the man born blind, that's the moment that gets revealed to him. That he has been on this difficult journey up to this point, and he would not know what was about to happen to him, but for the journey he'd been through. He would not fully understand or experience or revel in this great thing that's about to happen to him had he not been on that journey. What journey are you on? Can I share a secret? It's not a secret. That where you are in your struggle, where you are in your difficulty, where you are in your life's journey is the point at which God plans to meet you. Not somewhere you think you are supposed to be, not somewhere you hope you might be, but where you are right now. Jesus meets this man at the point of his need, and everything changes. So Jesus is passing by, and he spits in his eye. There's parts of this story you just read, and you let it go, and you go, what? He did what? I think like really, really religious people get nervous about Jesus having bodily functions, right? I mean, obviously he had to have had. He was a human being, fully human just as the rest of us are. He had that other thing going for him, which we can talk about later, but this has to happen. And so he spits on the ground, he makes mud, and then, I mean, gross, right? Puts it in his eyes and tells him to do something I'm sure he's ready to do anyway. Go wash that stuff off. Now, you do a little reading, and you find out that in the Roman world, they actually believed, this was really funny to me, but they actually believed that the spittle, getting formal now, of important people actually had healing properties. Tacitus talks about it. Pliny the Elder talks about it with stories in both of their histories and both of their writings. I mean, for you and I, you spit in somebody's eye, that's just total despising of somebody. That's not, oh, no, really, I was trying to heal you. How would that work out for you? Thank you, Sally. Excuse me. And then I think, as I read Genesis, where did I come from? Let's see. God took dirt and formed me and then breathed life into me. So it would make perfect sense to me that if I needed to heal this body, all I really needed was more material. What do the guys on the football field say when you get hurt, right? Rub a little dirt on it, get going, right? Guys? Football players, two of you. All right. For the rest of you, yeah, when you're playing those manly sports, when you got a little hurt or got a little wounded or got a little dinged up, the other guys would just say, yeah, rub a little dirt on it. Get back in the game. Come on. What are you complaining about? Get on with it. So maybe that daily shower thing isn't the most healing thing for you. I mean, maybe you just need more dirt on you so that. All right, I wouldn't recommend that either. Now, I also know from my childhood and watching playground activities, you know, we come back to spit here, that mom's spit actually has healing properties. You've seen it. You've done it. You know it's true. You know it's true that when the kid gets scraped or bruised or bumped on the, rub a little Kleenex, a little mom's spit, and everything's better. So why wouldn't we expect Jesus to be able to do that, right? There you are. This man's life to this moment has been a crucible in which and from which redemption can happen. He is who he is today so that this encounter with Christ will change and be an example for you and I. Well, who are you today? What's being formed and shaped in the crucible of your life? What is being developed so that your redemption can be experienced? All too often, we let the negative thing define us, don't we? Right? This poor guy, look how I say it. This poor guy, he's born blind. Not exactly something you'd wish for. But his blindness in that time and place, and I think oftentimes, let's be honest, in our time and place, that label becomes the label that he's going to carry forever. Well, you know, so-and-so, he's divorced, or she's single again, or, you know, they belong to so-and-so, or they have this deformity, or they have this predilection, or they have that thing, or this thing, or that thing. And we allow those labels, those titles, those pieces to define us. And this poor guy, there I go again, born blind is defined by his blindness. But the truth, the question is, you know, why are we here? Right? To live life in a love relationship with our Creator. And this guy's been on a journey to this point in his life, and he hasn't experienced or known or seen that at all. I think last week or the week before, I was talking about Captain Obvious. Remember the reference to Captain Obvious? You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Captain Obvious, he was hungry. Well, the Pharisees in the story seem to be, you know, sort of corporal obfuscation. I'm making this up as I go along. I mean, that was a different word than I used at 9 o'clock, wasn't it? I thought it was. All right. They can't see the obvious thing right in front of them. Jesus has healed this guy. He was blind, now he sees. How many times has he got to say that? I was blind, now I see. Mom and Dad show up. He was blind. I don't know how he sees, but he sees now. And the Pharisees, you know, they don't believe it. They won't believe it. In fact, all too often, they resort to what so many of us fall to when we're in a situation that we don't want to agree with, or in a situation we can't really understand, or in a situation where somebody keeps telling us something we don't really want to listen to. I mean, look what they do. I mean, first thing they do with the guy is they abuse him. You know, I mean, I'm not going to really listen to this story of yours. You jerk, get out of here. And then, of course, they insult him. You know, we're disciples of Moses. We don't know who you're a disciple of. You're just some lunatic guy. And then, of course, at the end of all of this sequence, what do? They threaten violence. They threaten to throw him out of the synagogue. How easy it is for us to fall into the same kind of trap. When we're confronted with something we don't readily agree with, when we're confronted with something we readily disagree with, rather than listening and trying to gather the other person's perspective, all too often we simply fall to that same trap of abuse, insult, threatening violence. It's a dreadful progression there as well. But I want you also to see that there is a progression for this man in his understanding of who Jesus is. So you've got the progression from the Pharisees that moves in a negative direction, but you have the progression for this man that's moving now in a positive direction, right? The first time they ask him, who is this Jesus person? Oops, sorry. The first time they ask this the man who this Jesus person is, he says, the man, Jesus. Notice. Right? Some guy did this to me. Later they ask him, what do you think? And he says, I think he's a prophet. And when you get to the end of the story, when Jesus himself says, well, what do you think now? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe, in other words, in me? The man says, reveal, show me. And then he says, I do believe. And the end of the story, he worships Christ for himself. I think oftentimes, like the Pharisees in the story, it's only when we're willfully blind that we miss the progression. You see, that progression is natural and normal for any of us. If your understanding of God today is the same as it was when you were 7 years old, you've missed a lifetime of understanding and growing and having God revealed to you, right? The longer I'm on this journey, the more I know, the more and I know I don't know, but the more and more I realize how great, how amazing, how far above, how far beyond my comprehension God actually is. And the progression that the blind man makes from the man Jesus, he's a prophet, to worship, I think, is a progression that we all need to make. Who is he? You see, Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. And when you get to the end of the story, you realize that's not just a story of physical seeing. It's also a metaphor for our lives being opened up to this new reality of who Jesus is and what he hopes to do. All too often, I'm the Pharisee in the story, locked into what I've convinced myself is the only possible answer, instead of listening, instead of exploring. Now, by the way, I may listen and explore and still come back right to where I was, but I need to be open to what God is showing, what God is revealing, what God is teaching. One of my early teachers said there really are only three important questions on this journey of faith. Only three. Who is Jesus? What is salvation? And what are the implications for living? The blind man in the story finds a conclusive answer for himself to question one. Who is Jesus? And we know that because his final act is to worship. His final act is to move beyond himself and out of himself and to place himself not just in the presence, but in the worshiping of Christ. How would you answer that question for yourself this morning? Who is this Jesus guy anyway? Some man that spits on the ground and puts dirt in your eye? It would have been a great sermon title for this one, and I missed it. Here's mud in your eye? Some days my clever gene works better than others. Who is Jesus? I believe that the deepest possible understanding of God comes in discovering how you're going to answer that question. Who is he? The other two questions follow pretty quick, but if you don't get the first one, you don't get to get to the other two. They're not really going to work all that much for you. Who is Jesus? Will you pray with me, please? For your grace this day, for opening our eyes that we might see, for revealing all that you have for us. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to follow his example and to worship you. In your name we ask this. Amen.